Well, we've been doing a series called My Christmas Carol, and it has been based off of the Charles Dickens book. Well, actually, it's been based off the movie, A Christmas Carol, which that was then based off the book, A Christmas Carol. So now we've got, you know, what, I don't know, breakfast cereal bowls that will come next, napkins, I don't know. But we have a sermon series now that we've taken that idea and we've kind of run with it. And this whole idea of our Christmas past and our Christmas present and our Christmas future. And we started 3 weeks ago and we talked about our Christmas past and really what is in our past. And we talked about stuff in our past called baggage. And we define baggage as things in our past, either good or bad events, that we've responded poorly to. Because sometimes you can have a good event, you respond poorly to it, it becomes baggage that you drag around with you. And a bad event that you respond poorly to, of course, that's going to be baggage. And so we'd put that on our scale here. And we talked about what we labeled as luggage. Now, luggage we called good and bad things in our past that we had a healthy response to, that we had a good response to. Because sometimes you can have a negative thing in your past and you have a good response to it, and it's something you want to bring with you into the rest of your life because you want that lesson learned. Or sometimes you have a healthy thing, a good thing in your life, and you respond positively to it, and you want to carry that around with you because that strengthens you and that empowers you through some times when you need encouragement. And so we kind of put that on the scale, and we looked at our life in general, and we said, you know, if we could just get our baggage and our luggage to balance out, then we feel like we're doing okie dokie in life. We think if we can just live this way, in fact, some of us think, you know, if I can just get a little edge up and I can have just a little more luggage than baggage, then man, I'm thumbs up. I'm in good shape. And that what week I challenge you guys to think differently about this. We throw our baggage and our luggage all together, because that's our Christmas past. And we talked about the power of a gift that was given years and years and years ago. And that gift was the gift of Jesus. These little nativity scenes that we see around our houses and people's yards. We talked about the weight of this gift and how powerful this gift was. And that this gift was so weighty that it would outweigh our past, our good events, our bad events, our healthy choices, our poor choices, everything in our past, and not only my personal past and your personal past, all of our past put together. This little story outweighs them all. Then we went in to talk about our Christmas present. And we talked about things that are on our mind and on our heart right now and today. And we used presents to symbolize Christmas present. You didn't get that last week, did you? I didn't bring that out. I just figured you guys were smart enough to catch that. Christmas present. Okay, I get a couple points for that one. That was pretty creative. All right, so, but we talk about things that are on our mind right now during this Christmas time. Things like wanting to buy gifts for our loved ones, but man, money's tight this year, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get everything I'd like to get for those that I want to get stuff for them, and if I don't get my kids what they want, then what are they going to think about me? They're going to think I'm an awful parent. They're going to report me to social services, and then, you know, they're going to Gary Coleman me. And we got things on our mind like, Our family get-togethers and dinners and trying to get along. And man, cause that's tough sometimes. And sometimes you just kind of put the Christmas face on to make sure there's no tension in the family or the dinners. And we got all these things on our mind and this stuff that we call life that we think about all the time. We've got all this Christmas present in our life that sometimes it doesn't do a bit of good to even have a nativity scene around to remind us of the birth of Christ, because we've got so much junk going on in our present life, so many things running through our head, that we forget to think about this in the proper way. And so that Sunday, what we did was we took a look at the shepherds that were visited by the angels, and they were told about the birth of Christ. And what happened with the shepherds is they were interrupted, and they looked, and they listened. Listen needs to stay up there. There we go. They looked and they listened at what God was revealing to them through those angels. And not only did they do that, but they did something about it. They got up off their their butts and they moved. They acted on what they had seen God do, what they had seen God reveal in their life, and they talked about it. They talked about God's activity in their life. And if we would do that in our Christmas present, then we would see the weight of this little story in the way it should have weight in our lives. If we would just allow God to interrupt our life, and we would look and we would listen, we would actually do something about what God is asking us to do in our life, and we talk about God's activity in our life, then our Christmas present would change focus, and it would have the weight that it has, and it would have it in our life, no matter what you got on your mind and on your heart. So today we move on to Christmas future. And today's clip, I love this clip. It's one of my favorite. I've been waiting the whole series to play this clip. And I had to nick some of the stuff in the beginning, so I got to give you some backstory on this clip because I didn't want to shorten the cool stuff that's coming. And so this clip is when Mr. Scrooge, Ebenezer, is visited by the ghost of Christmas future, the ghost of the Christmas that is yet to come. And he shows him all these different scenes of people that are talking very negatively about a man who has died. And we catch up in our scene where Scrooge is starting to piece together, they're talking about me. So let's take a look at this.
Before I draw nearer to that stone, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of things that must be? Or are the only shadows of things that might be? I know that men's deeds foreshadow certain ends, but if the deeds be departed from, surely the ends will change. Tell me to sow with what you show me now. No. Tell me I'm not already dead. Spirit, I'm not the man I was. Believe me, I'm not the man I was. Why show me all this if I'm beyond all hope? Oh, pity me, Spirit, pity me, and help me. Help me to sponge away the writing on this stone if I repent. And I do repent, I do repent. I'll make good the wrongs I've done my fellow men. I'll change. I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was. Believe me, I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was. I'm not the man I was. I'm not. Tell me, what day is it?
What day? What's Christmas Day, Costa?
Christmas Day. Then I haven't missed it. The spirits must have done everything in one night. But of course, they can do anything, can't they? Of course they can.
Are you quite yourself, sir?
What? I don't know. No, I don't think so. I hope not.
What?
The curtains are still here. They're still here. You didn't tear them down and sell them. Hmm? They're here now. Everything's here. I'm here. And the shadows of things that would be can still be dispelled. And they will be. I know they will be. I know. I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. I've never. A Merry Christmas, Ebenezer. You old humbug. And a Happy New Year, as if you deserved it. Oh, Merry Christmas, Mrs. Dilber.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. And many, many of them. I must stand in my head. I must stand in my head. Please, Mr. Dilber. I am not mad. Even if I look...
Don't be violent, Mr. Scrooge. Sir, you forced me to scream for the beadle.
The beadle, madam? A thing for the beadle.
A guinea? Here, what for?
I'll give you one guess.
To keep me mouth shut?
To keep me mouth shut. No, Mrs. Dilber. It's for a Christmas present.
A Christmas present? For me?
Of course, for you. A merry, merry Christmas. Dear Mrs. Dilber.
Oh. That scene just... to me, just captures the whole movie right there. It's a movie, it's a book, it's a story about redemption. And sometimes it takes looking into our past and our present and our future in order to realize we need to change, realize we need something different. Now, we've looked at our past, we've looked at our present, but how do we look at our future? I mean, we're not fortune tellers here. Let me give you a little equation. I mean, what's the proper question to get the thing to come up there? My little lamp. What does my Christmas future look like? Well, this equation is that if we take our Christmas past and we take our Christmas present and we add those together, then we can have a projected Christmas future. All right, so if in your Christmas past all you focused on was your baggage and your luggage, and then in your Christmas present all you focused on was what was going on in your life and what was surrounding you right now and what affected you and how you could do anything about it, then I believe it's safe to say that if nothing changes, then your estimated, your projected future Christmas is going to be all about you. And if you're miserable in your Christmas past and you're miserable in your Christmas present, then chances are you're probably going to be miserable in your Christmas future. Now, if things are different for you and your Christmas past involves giving all of your luggage and all of your baggage over to Jesus and he's the center of your life and he outweighs anything that's in your past, or your Christmas present today is solely centered around Christ and this gift that God gave us through Jesus Christ and what you can do for him and talking about him and looking and listening about the things that he's shown you and revealed himself to you, then your projected Christmas future is you're probably going to continue this trend line. And your Christmas future is going to look the same. Now, what's interesting about this is that when we try and live life, life is frustrating. When we give our life to Christ, life is fulfilling. And I think it's kind of ironic. Focus on life. Life is frustrating. Focus on Christ. Life is fulfilling. And that's the truth. You know, the most selfish decision you can make is to make Christ the center of your life by giving your life to him. Did you ever think about that? I mean, if we're going to define selfishness as a decision that most benefits you, then the most selfish decision you could make was to make Jesus the center of your life. Because what do we get when we make Jesus the center of our life? When we give our life to God through Jesus Christ, what do we get through that? Well, we get eternal life with him. That's good for us. We get guidance and protection through trials in life. Boy, that's good for us. We get fulfillment in life. That's good for us. We get hope. Good for us. We get peace. Good for us. The most selfish decision we will make is to accept Christ. But we have to get to the most selfless point in our life to do it. And sometimes that takes hitting rock bottom before we realize that. And my goal is to keep you from hitting rock bottom this morning as we open up some things and reveal some things about this wonderful Christmas story. In Luke chapter 2, we've been talking about Luke chapter 2 most of the month. We kind of ventured in one and in three a little bit on the first one. But in Luke chapter 2, we've got the story of Mary giving birth to Jesus, placing him in a manger. And we've got the story of the angels visiting the shepherds, and the shepherds coming to visit the manger. And then this goes past the manger scene and into when he was 8 years, or 8 years, when he was 8 days old, they took him to the temple. And even at the temple, people were amazed, and they were coming and seeing this world changer, this world changing baby. And they were praising his name. And then Luke chapter 2 ends with a little story about Jesus when he's 12 years old and he's at the temple again. This little chapter is packed with Jesus's childhood from birth to 12 years old. And twice in this chapter, we're told that Mary treasured all of these events up. In Luke chapter 2, verse 19, it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That was at the manger scene. And then verse 51, which is after the story of Jesus at the temple at age 12, we're told again that his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Now, most mothers would treasure these things up in their heart, wouldn't they? We've got a little mother and a little child here. Don't you treasure up that day when you gave birth to him? Yes? I'm embarrassing you, aren't I? Just give me a little head shake. We got mothers in the crowd here. And you treasure those different little stories that go along with your children, don't you? Things where they've done things that were just completely out of the ordinary. Completely unique. Things that they do that are really touching. And you treasure those. And that's not abnormal. There's nothing really unique about that. However, I do think when we're told that Mary treasured these things up, there's an added level that we need to take it to. Because she had received a visit from Gabriel, she knew that this was the Christ. She knew that this was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And she treasured these moments because she knew it was God walking among us. Do we treasure that little story? Because that little story reveals so much about who God is. His compassion for mankind to send a Savior. His power to create a birth with no conception. His desire to use humans to carry out his purposes. His precise planning and deliberate movement through the Old Testament that led to that one single event that was a world-changing event. A history-changing event. So is this your treasure today? Maybe it once was, and somehow it's fallen in rank. Maybe this story has never been your treasure, and you're just here because someone dragged you here, or it's Christmas and it's the right thing to do to go to church. This little story, in order to have its relevance, it has to be viewed properly. In order for us to really treasure up this little story of the birth, the gift of Jesus Christ, we have to view it in the same picture as the cross. And that did work for service. See, my guess is that if this story isn't a treasure in your heart right now, whether it fell from rank or maybe it's never been that way, it's because you truly haven't seen the power of the birth story, because you haven't seen the birth story in connection with the cross. See, seeing both of these events together, we understand their power. This birth story, the manger, loses its meaning when it's not connected to the cross. I think we ought to write that down and take it home. The manger loses its meaning when it's not connected to the cross. And in the same way, your belief in the existence of Christ, it loses its meaning when it's not connected to the redemption of your life through his death and resurrection. And that affects your future. See, the birth of Christ ushered in a new era. And that is the era of new beginnings. You have your Christmas past and your Christmas present and your Christmas future. Let me tell you what, your projection this morning can change. And it can change because of the message of the cross connected to the message of the manger. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." Our God is a God of new beginnings. He's a God that gives us new hope, a new reason to live. He can change your past and present trend line so that your future does not have to reflect what is in your past, what is today. You can change your future today by letting God change you. You can alter your future today by letting God alter you. You can have hope for the future by letting God give you hope today. Your future does not have to follow the path of your past and your present. But you are not powerful enough. You are not powerful enough to change it yourself. See, redemption is a God-sized act. Because a lot of us go through life chained and bound. Shackled in fear and unforgiveness and grudges. Shackled because of our past, some of us. What is weighing you down and affecting your future? What are your shackles today? What is keeping you from having a new beginning today? What is affecting your future in a negative way? What are your worries? What are your concerns? What is it? What is it this morning? Because our God is a God of new beginnings. I'm fully convinced of that. And Jesus Christ shares that as he shared his last supper with his disciples. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me."
So many things going on in this world today. You got natural disasters and people shooting and killing one another. And you say, "Well, where has all the hope gone?" But God says, "Remember me.
Remember me."
So many times you find yourself crying.
Remember me. That's what Jesus said before he went to the cross. Remember me and all your shackles and all the things that you're fed up with. All the things that hold you down. All the things that keep you chained. Jesus knew that we would lose focus and we would move away from him. And that's why we will have a time here in a few minutes of communion. Specifically designed by God to remember him on a weekly basis. On any time we get together. He told us to remember him. And remember what this stands for. I'm passionate about this. Because I know it changes lives. I've watched it. And I've been a beneficiary myself. I'm not just the president. Hair club for men, yeah. I had to say something, otherwise I was going to start crying. I didn't want to do that. I got a little more preaching to go. This cross, this message, It's the best thing in existence. Nothing, nothing. No other world religion, no other world leader, no other God that people put their faith in is better. This is the best. And some of you might think that's an awful arrogant thing to say in this politically correct world. And it's not coming from an arrogant preacher. I promise you that. It's coming from an arrogant gospel. Because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that claims that it is better than any other religion out there. It is the gospel of Christ that says there is no other way to get to God except through Him. It's not an arrogant preacher. It's an arrogant gospel. But if it's truth, then is it arrogance? Because the power, when you put these two stories together, your chains don't stand a chance. And all these things that have you bound up today, all these things that, these shackles. In 1 Peter, he says, "Praise be to our God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, you who by your faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of your salvation that is ready to be revealed in the end time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have had to suffer through grief and all sorts of trials, but these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by fire, your faith would be proved genuine and would, in return, bring glory and praise and honor to Jesus Christ when He is revealed. Though you've not seen Him, you love Him. And though you don't see Him now, you believe in Him, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, and that is the salvation of your soul. I think if we connect with that, we would act like the actor did as he was portraying Mr. Scrooge. And he woke up and realized the freedom that he had a chance to change, that he had a chance to make a difference in his life, a chance to not be the man he was. And as Peter continues in verse 18 of that chapter, he says that you know that you are not paid for with perishable things such as silver and gold. You were not redeemed from your empty way of life that was handed down from your forefathers with those things. No, you were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the beginning of time, but revealed in these last times for your sake. For your sake. And through Him you believe in God. God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. So in God is your faith and your hope. And Peter finishes that chapter by saying, this is the gospel that has been preached to you. And so I conclude by saying, this is the gospel that has been preached to you.